Hello, good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. Live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM and myjoyonline.com. We are live in all 16 regions. We are on A1 Radio in Bolga Tanga, Jubilee FM in Keta. We are on Dreams FM also in Bolga Tanga. We are live on X Spaces. We are on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol. Your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tanks. We are the only water storage tank with a level indicator, and where Duroplus goes, water flows. This afternoon, next month's BECs are at the risk of cancellation as WAEC paints a grim picture of how low funding is hampering preparations.
So we may be able to finish the printing of the question papers. Now, the conduct of the examination itself may be in limbo if we don't get any more money. Payment of supervisors and mediators could probably be hanging around our next.
We'll get to hear from WAEC on this. Also, Ghana Statistical Service alarmed over the negative impact of persistent inflation on the health and education sectors, warning that failure by government institutions to implement proactive measures could further worsen the lives of Ghanaians.
We definitely have to be proactive looking at the historical data. And the historical data is always available.
We have more as the Ghana Statistical Service urges Parliament to desist from passing policies without statistical targets. Meanwhile, in Parliament itself, there are worrying levels of absenteeism as less than 50 out of the 275 MPs made it to the House yesterday, forcing the House to abandon crucial public business.
Your members are still not here. They are following your presidential candidate dancing a zonto and saying, give me the steer. If you want us to take you serious, then have control of the people you lead.
And then residents of Ojobi in the central region demand justice for a patient who died after she was allegedly carried in the Winneba Trauma Hospital's ambulance and dumped in a bush following difficulty in locating her family.
Ntumi nkoba sɛ obi a yahyɛ ne nan POP ɔwɔ saa ati bi ɔno ankasa bɛtumi apia ne ho atena hwee mu aba abɛda baabi ɔde na kyerɛ sɛ ɛyɛ nnipa bi ɛna ɛde no ɛbɛsi hɔ.
We have details as the Ghana Health Service launches investigations into the matter. We have sports.
A superstation, Joy 99.7 FM, begins its broadcast of the European Championships later tonight with Germany versus Scotland.
Can't wait for that. And much later, their great-grandparents were taken away from Africa through slavery, and now they have visited for the first time to reconnect with their roots. We'll get to tell you about their experiences, about Ghanaian music, Jollof market, and more.
I feel like I have a new source of like where like my power and my strength comes from. I got introduced to Jackie. We were watching one of her music videos. My mind is for you.
My heart beats for you. That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please stay on. Many thanks for your company. We are your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. And this afternoon, next month's Basic Education Certificate Examination, BEC, faces cancellation due to severe funding challenges, according to the West Africa Examination Council, WAEC. The council has expressed grave concerns over government's failure to release funds critical for the preparation and administration of the exams. So far, only 2 million cedis out of over 90 million cedis budgeted for it has been paid. Meanwhile, time is running out for the purchase of logistics for the exam scheduled for July 8, 2024. Director of Public Affairs at WAEC, John Kapi, paints a picture of the situation in an interview with my colleague Mami Sinyamiche Thompson.
For BEC, we still have an outstanding payment of 698,500 Ghana cedis. And then for 2024 examinations, we expect a total amount of 95,837,306 Ghana cedis from the government. So far, we've received 2,284,618. All right, so there's an outstanding balance of 93,552,688 Ghana cedis. That is for BECE.
Is that enough for the printing, invigilators, other logistics that are supposed to be done before the exam starts?
No, it is not enough. It is not. There are a lot of things that go into every examination. So 2 million is way, way, way below what we expect from the government. For example, we need to buy bond paper for the printing. We have, consumables that are needed at the printing press. We have industrial alcohol. we have ink and all those other things. Of course, they also have to maintain the machines to ensure that they are in good working condition. Now, besides that, we also provide answer booklets for the candidates. We provide pencils for the candidates. We would need envelopes to envelope the question papers, with envelopes to envelope the scripts after the examination is done. So it's a wide range of items that we need. Besides all of this, we also need to send officers out there, you know, who will keep custody of the question papers and issue them. We need to give them some per diem. We need to give them some hotel accommodation, you know, allowance and all of that. So really, it's a whole lot of things that come together, you know, to enable us cost the examinations. We are preparing a communication to the ministry. Actually, they have a copy of our budget already, indicating all these things I've mentioned already, and then how we arrived at the figure that we are charging for this year. So we are going to send a reminder to them to indicate that whatever we've received so far is woefully inadequate. And so sometimes a week to the activity, they call and ask that, okay, come pick up this check and that kind of thing.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. Until that happens, what could be the challenges with next month's examination if the money is not readily available?
If there's no money paid in, the biggest challenge would be that we cannot move out of Accra.
So the exams would only be concentrated in Accra?
Well, if I say we don't move out of Accra, Accra is the headquarters, and this is where we move all the material from. And so once we're not moving outside Accra, it also means that even Accra will be affected.
If I understand you right, if additional payments aren't made by the ministry or government, that means the exams is likely not to come on.
Literally, that's what it means, yeah. You know, we work with timelines. And so with the resources that we have available, we've started printing. We have received answer booklets from our printers. And then also we have other stationery that will be needed for the examination. So we may be able to finish the printing of the question papers. Now the conduct of the examination itself is maybe in limbo if we don't get any more money. Payment of supervisors and mediators could probably be hanging around our necks if we don't get more money.
So that's the Director of Public Affairs at WAEC, John Kapi, there interacting with my colleague Mami Esinyamiche-Thompson. Well, the minority on the Education Committee in Parliament first raised the issue this week, calling for a payment schedule from government. We can hear Peter Nochukotoy, ranking member.
I was proposing to the chairman of the committee that we should invite the Minister for Finance, we should invite the Minister for Education, then we should invite the national officer for WAEC, so that we sit down and then probably draw a roadmap and see how soon monies can be released to WAEC.
However, Vice Chairman of the committee, Dr. Prince Hamidu Ama, has downplayed the seriousness of government's indebtedness.
And I'm not saying that is a very comfortable situation, but just to make a point that this has always been the case over the last 10 years. The key thing is that if we take each of the examinations, we don't have to lump them together. In 2023, government paid over 80 million Ghana cedis towards the BECE. The 2024, out of the budget that they've made, government has paid 2.5 million plus, an additional 6 million plus. Just to make the point that government has demonstrated commitment towards making payments and ensuring that the examination are conducted timely.
So that's the Vice Chairperson of the Parliament's Education Committee. Let me quickly bring in the Ranking Member on the Education Committee, Peter Nochukotoy. We're grateful for your time here on the Midday News. So the last time we spoke to you, you mentioned that you were hoping to seek the audience or the Finance Ministry, all the sectors involved in this, to ensure that the BECE comes off next month successfully. What has been the response that you've been able to gather so far?
Yeah, thank you very much, MFA, and good afternoon. Yeah, you know, the best practice worldwide is that examination fees are paid before the conduct of examinations. And this allows for proper conduct of the examinations. But in the last 3 years or so, it is not the case in Ghana as far as releases to WAEC is concerned. You know, candidates are to pay for the examination. Government is paying on their behalf. We have approved the budget. We sat down and agreed that a candidate should pay so and so for both the BEC and the WASE. And every year since 2022, we have to talk as a committee or a minority before funds are released. And if you listen to the YKPRO very well, you will realize that the situation this year is worse than that of last year. Out of the 95 million, that is what they should pay for the BEC, only 2.2 was paid,
mm-hmm.
a balance of 93.5. How do they conduct the examination? And for even the WASE, which is in August, out of the 178 million, 0.3, nothing has been given to WAEC.
Well, these are issues that we've heard the public affairs director for WAEC raise. But the key concern, at least from Parliament, is that what is the explanation that has been given to your committee as to why this situation persists?
No, when you say, oh, we'll release money. And WAEC can't do otherwise. So it is the ministry. So the minority, we have demanded on the committee chairman to invite the ministers for education and finance, as well as the head of the national office of WAEC, so that we can meet as quickly as possible. Chairman is yet to respond whether the ministry has received the request, so we are yet to know.
Okay.
So I just want to say that we will pursue the matter as long as we are concerned to make sure that we come to a very good conclusion for WAEC to conduct their examinations without problem this year.
We are grateful. That's Peter Nochukwuta, ranking member on the Education Committee of Parliament. Well, the education and health sectors have been severely impacted by the persistent inflation, with a current rate of 23.1% as of May 2024, down from 25% in April 2024. These sectors have reportedly experienced a significant decline over the past period, with no signs of improvement. According to the Ghana Statistical Service, if the government institutions fail to take proactive and pragmatic measures in addressing the situation at hand, the living conditions of Ghanaians could further deteriorate. We can listen to the government statistician, Professor Samuel Kobna Enim, explaining the indicators.
Health year on year is 26%, which is higher than the overall national inflation of 23.1%. Then if you look on month on month, health has an inflation figure 1.8, which is lower than the overall month-on-month inflation of 3.2%. The story for education is completely different. In terms of education, as you rightly said, month-on-month is 5.5, which is higher than the overall national of 3.2%. We keep saying that we need to start addressing our inflation challenges from a real sector point of view. And what this simply means is that when these figures are out there, there should be some engagement with the implementing MDAs to try and better understand whether, one, we relate with the numbers that are coming up, and two, going forward, what interventions can we put in place to ensure that we can bring the number down.
Well, the government statistician also urges government or parliament to refrain from passing policies without statistical targets.
From a policy point of view, whether we are seeing some responsiveness in terms of the work that we are doing. I must say that we are seeing some engagement. It is differential and it is slow. And this is what we want to hasten and make it cross-cutting across all the ministries. A recent example is our engagement with the Ministry of Food and Agri. Benjamin, as we speak, the ministry can fully explain and anticipate the price increases from tomatoes' point of view. And I'm happy next week, as you are aware, we are doing this convening on food security, which is just giving us an opportunity to further engage with the ministry so that, as a country, can we say that if you are self-sufficient in a particular commodity, it means you are food secure. It doesn't happen like that. So we are hoping that this conversation will happen with all the ministries, where they bring their statistical targets, they bring their administrative data, we reconcile that with the population-based data that we have, and see whether our interventions are yielding results.
That's the government statistician, Professor Komna Enim. Now, let me take you to the central region where residents of Ujubi are demanding justice for a patient who died after she was allegedly carried in the Winneba Trauma Hospital's ambulance and dumped in a bush following difficulty in locating her family. The patient had been in the hospital for 2 months after an accident with two legs broken and also suffered mental illness as a result. The Ghana Health Service says it is asking this matter seriously. It's taking the matter seriously as launch investigations into the matter. We'll get to hear from the Director General of the Service on this shortly, but first, let's hear from my colleague, Dome FM's Kofi Ejeh, who first visited the community and saw how the situation is when it comes to this particular patient. Kofi, tell us what exactly happened.
I think on the 10th, I was informed by a committee member from Ujubi. The chief himself called me that a facility, hospital, has deposited a patient at the Goma Ujubi around from, I had 200 meters away from Ujubi Health Center. There was a bush over there. So I proceeded to the scene and I saw the woman running to about getting to 60 years over there. And I saw a wheelchair beside her and there's a cloth covering her. The woman was in a very deep pain. And I can saw that there was a POP all over both legs. But information gathered indicated that there was an accident. The woman had an accident at a community called Kwagando near Ujubi. So they brought the woman to Ujubi Health Center and they informed Ujubi social worker. You see, social worker, they have, I think, they have some workers in the community. So they informed Ujubi social worker and he and she informed trauma hospital and the facility told them that they have a package for vulnerable people, so they should bring the victim. So they transported, they referred the woman from Ujubi Health Center to Winneba Trauma Hospital, where the facility treated the woman. And after treatment, they supposed, the facility told me that the woman was starting misbehaving because after the accident, it might be had her mind like partially. You can see that she was misbehaving, which means they need to be referred to Ankafu Teaching Hospital. And information gathered from social work and the facility indicate that the Ankafu Government Hospital and the Ankafu Hospital were demanding 9,000 Ghana cedi before they can admit the patient. So the facility was also not having the money and the social worker was not having the money. So they decided to release the woman back to the social worker so that they can take the matter up. Or they can transfer the woman to Ankafu as initially said. But because of the 9,000, the social welfare people could not raise that money.
Okay.
So the facility also saw that the woman started misbehaving at the facility. That is when they released the woman to ambulance and deposited the woman to Gomwa Ujubi community.
That's Adum FM's Kofi Ejeh. They're giving us details. He's also been interacting with some residents. We can listen to them.
Near a seminal a year near because you're better and Oshem, I'm in a senior and it's a Nitina. Say, Bibia Bitch, me, it is a intimate cobase, Ubia, Yashen and I POP, or was I to be on one Casabitch me a piano at an area more about the baby or the Natchez, say, a nippy and a deno ABC ho, and went in yesterday, a buy, say, Oshe, social welfare, say, police for Nam, say, a social welfare for Edma, to Tusre, social welfare, baby or Mobia, so Moti and Ka, yes. Rese yempese ujubi mai yebenya asem enu nti abai onfa ni hunjim na social welfare for omemefa asema etisa enfriye
so. So that's a resident there calling for further investigations into this matter and asking authorities to take over this issue and ensure that we get to the bottom of it. Well, the Ghana Health Service has a statement out and head of our health desk, Fred Smith, joins me in studio with details of it. What does it say, Fred?
Well, this statement signed by the Director General himself says that the attention of the leadership of the health service has been drawn to a media story about a patient allegedly abandoned in the bush at Gumwa Ujubi in the central region. And according to the story, it is alleged that the said patient was on admission at the Trauma and Specialist Hospital in Winneba, and after her relatives had failed to show up, she was conveyed in the hospital's ambulance and left in a wheelchair at Ujubi, where she claimed to be her hometown, and was later found dead. The service, upon receiving this disturbing news, has initiated investigations into the matter to establish the authenticity or otherwise of the story, in line with the existing practices in the public service, to enable it take appropriate action or actions. The service It says wishes to appeal to the general public to be patient, as anyone found to be connected with this unfortunate incident will be severely dealt with in accordance with provisions of the Services Code of Conduct.
Thank you very much. That's ahead of our health expert Smith on that rather disturbing note. We'll take a quick break here on the Midday News, live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM, also on myjoyonline.com. We are present in all 16 regions. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul, your clean fuel in full quantity, also by Duraplus Ghana Limited, where Duraplus goes, water flows. And we've been hearing that next month's BCs are at the risk of cancellation, as WAEC paints a grim picture of how low funding is hampering preparations. We return from the break with sport, and then the agreed grandparents were taken away from Africa through slavery, and now they have visited for the first time to reconnect with your roots. We'll tell you about the experiences, about Ghanaian music, Jollof market, and much more.
I feel like I...
This is the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM. It's time for sports. Mr. Chu is here. Hello.
Hi, and the 17th edition of the European Championships will take place in 10 cities across Germany, from Hamburg in the north to Munich in the south, Düsseldorf in the west, to Berlin in the east. Now, between today and the 14th of July, one of the most atmospheric footballing nations in Europe will welcome the rest of the continent to its stadium, starting tonight with the test of Scotland at 7 p.m. And there's going to be live commentary on Joy 99.7 FM. Here's former Germany international and Euro 2008 semi-finalist Arne Friedrich.
It's going to be a really complicated game. If we have a good start, which I hope for, then I would say that there is so much momentum that this young team, I mean, we brought in some really talented young players who haven't played on the national team. I mean, they bring so much into that team. The mixture is great. Also, to bring back Toni Kroos, I think to me it was a very, very important decision. But he won 6 Champions League titles. He is so important. And Julian Nagelsmann, he brings in some drive. It's not all about bringing in the best players. It's about a team. And I can say that as a former player too. The best tournaments you play if you have a good team spirit.
Remember, there's live commentary on Joy 99.7 FM.
Much later, we'll be waiting for it. We have game plan also coming up much later, but let's focus on power sector now. And the Electricity Company of Ghana has admitted that the recent power outages is partly due to financial challenges. Speaking at a forum organized by CSOs in the energy sector, the Deputy Managing Director of ECG, Kwejobing, called on Ghanaians to pay their electricity bills to cushion ECG and help keep the lights on.
I think PRC is here. They brought some mechanisms for addressing some of the financial challenges. But it boils down to you and I paying our bills. It's a chain. We buy the product, we bring it, it is transmitted to us, we sell it. The expectation is that we'll collect the money, it goes back to the chain to the IPPs and then the gas suppliers. But I must say that this system is not 100% efficient. And so we do have situations where it is difficult to take the money and pay it back to the providers. But we are improving. It may cause do so. As I said, sitting in ECG, I know the challenge I face with getting money from my customers.
My colleague Kenneth Jesse is attending this power sector forum, joins us on the line with more. Kenneth, we know that the VRA and Gridco have also been giving further explanations for the current power supply challenges. What have they been saying?
Well, VRA says there's an abundance of power plants at their disposal, but the main problem is there are usually no fuel to power these plants. They also said there's the issue of maintenance of these power plants to make sure it does not lose its functionality. And then there's unplanned fault, which they usually have no control over. Now, Gridco also raised similar concerns. They say they have excess capacity as against demand, but without fuel, these capacities are rendered redundant. They say there's about 5,626 megawatts installed generation capacity with a dependable capacity of over 4,900 megawatts as against a demand of over 3,000 megawatts. So according to them, there shouldn't be power outages looking at these numbers, but there's not enough money to power these capacities. And their final challenge is the low water levels of Bui, which according to them, including Akosombo Dam, provide hydropower for the country.
Okay, and that's my colleague Kenneth Jesse there giving us update on this. Let me take you to Parliament, where the minority there have called out the majority for failing to whip its members from the Vice President's campaign trail to perform parliamentary business. Parliament adjourned for the second time yesterday because they couldn't form a quorum. Businesses including annual report, agreement, bills and the controversial tax waivers bill to be executed in the past 3 days have been shelved. We can hear the lamentations of some MPs.
My point has to do with the unseriousness on the team he leads. They are only seven. Yesterday, they were just five. Now, you think that it is important, right, Honourable Speaker, for us to discuss this matter? You are the leader of government business. What should be of concern to you is to ensure that your members are in the House. I came here by 8 o'clock, I was in this Parliament. I came and registered. Your members are still not here. They are following your presidential candidate, Danson Azonto, and saying, give me the steer. If you want us to take you serious, then have control of the people you lead. So get your people to come to this house.
Madam, Mr. Speaker, I come under Order 64. 3. A member may draw the attention of the person presiding at any time during the sitting that members present in the house constitute less than one-third of the number of all members of Parliament.
Well, let me take you live to the house now. My colleague James Savage is there for us. Has the situation changed?
So the house has just been gaveled into session some few minutes ago, and they just finished taking roll call. Members are on the floor, but you could visibly see quite a number of empty seats. But a few of them are still trickling in one after the other. The change is that the leadership of the minority is fully represented. The minority leader himself, Kesala Tuforsen, his deputy, as well as the whip, are all in the house, same with the majority. And so we are hopeful that things would go on for the better when they approach the business of the day, that no one raises an issue about quorum.
That's my colleague James Savage monitoring events in Parliament for us. And now the connection between African Americans and Ghana through slavery is deeply rooted in historical events that trace back to the transatlantic slave trade. Initiatives such as the Year of Return have contributed to more of them returning to the continent. Maxwell Ogbagba has been interacting with some African American students from Spelman University in the US. Here's more in this report.
It is a hot afternoon and I'm here at the International Programs Office of the University of Ghana to meet students of Spelman College. They are on a short exchange program organized by the Council on International Educational Exchange, CIEE. Sat in a circle and had a wonderful interaction.
Going to Cape Coast was like a very emotional experience because like the tour guide was talking and he mentioned Virginia, and I'm from Virginia, so like one of the
400 years ago, that was the first place they arrived at, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was Virginia, and I was born and raised in Virginia, so like that really hit home.
I just feel more empowered to lean into my blackness, and I feel like I have a new source of like where like my power.